Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Republicans in the North Carolina House of Representatives recently approved a controversial bill that would restrict what North Carolina school children can be taught about American history. House Bill 324 would prohibit teachers from promoting the idea that America is racist or sexist, or even that it was created by members of one race or sex to oppress members of another group. Not surprisingly, as with many other education policy initiatives advanced by legislative leaders in recent years, the proposal has sparked deep concern amongst educators, administrators, and parents that lawmakers are micromanaging schools in a destructive and even dishonest way. Earlier this week, I sat down with my colleague, NC Policy Watch education reporter Greg Childress, to learn more about this issue and some other education policy matters currently topping the headlines in Raleigh.
Well, Greg Childress, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Glad to be here, Rob.
Whenever you talk about public education in North Carolina, there are a lot of directions you could go. It's such a huge topic, and it always dominates a lot of the discussion at the General Assembly. I guess maybe one place to just start off is maybe we're kind of on a path back to normalcy in our public schools. It seems that most schools have reopened, and thus far we've been able to keep the COVID pandemic somewhat under control in the public schools. And I guess there's a general sense of optimism that we're heading back to something akin to normal. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
I think that is. As you said, most public schools have reopened for in-person instruction, and many parents are happy about that. They're able to go back to work. The kids are getting the services that they need, the exceptional children services and others that they need. We are definitely headed back on the right path. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the fall. I personally worry about the creation of the virtual schools, and there's some of those are still going to be at play. And I wonder how that's going to impact segregation in North Carolina public schools when you look at it. Kids are not going to be interacting. Parents are going to be choosing to remain virtual. And it will just be interesting to see how all of that plays out as we move toward August.
And indeed, as we talk about sort of the ongoing resegregation of North Carolina schools, there's the question of the continued growth of charters and vouchers. It seems that there's no loss of momentum there. The General Assembly leadership remains committed to continuing to expand charters and vouchers in North Carolina. And we know that this has had an impact on traditional public schools.
And indeed, you're right. I'm currently looking into Granville County schools, which I've reported on in the past. And charter schools in North Carolina are healthy. There are several more planned to open. I think we're at around 200 charter schools now. And in Granville County in particular, those charters there are thriving. They're taking students out of traditional public schools. Granville County is looking, for example, at having to close several schools just to balance books. So you can look for that sometime this week.
As you say, a lot of these charter schools are doing great. They are thriving in many instances, but it's reshaping, at least in that district and presumably in some other districts, how public education is delivered. And in many respects, there's reason to believe that the face of public education will be a little different if it's becoming a charter-based system rather than a traditional public school where everybody sort of is just mixed together. There's a lot of self-selection going on as to who's attending which charter, and that has some impacts.
Yeah, charter school advocates will remind you that charter schools are public schools. And I don't think they are going anywhere anytime soon. I don't know what can be done to kind of balance the playing field for traditional public schools, but charter schools will be here. The parents are choosing them. Traditional public schools, and I know Granville County is wrestling with this, is trying to find out what it is they can do to attract more families or retain more families. It's going to require work. It's going to require innovation, as they always say. And I just think that charter schools in North Carolina just have a lot of support from the Republican-led legislature. The new superintendent, Catherine Truitt, has expressed her support for charter schools. And just right now, there's a lot of momentum for charters, and they are growing. And they will continue to grow for the foreseeable future.
One thing that one would presume might make a difference and strengthen our traditional public schools would be access to better resources. We know that it's been repeatedly documented that our traditional public schools in North Carolina are under-resourced. We have many that have crumbling facilities, especially in rural and lower income areas, a tremendous amount of teacher turnover, just really enormous hurdles that they have to overcome. We have had for a very long time in North Carolina something called the Leandro ruling, which was a state Supreme Court ruling that said that the state was under an obligation to provide every child in the state with access to a sound basic education, which, according to the most recent report of a special commission appointed, would require billions of new dollars to be appropriated by the General Assembly to address this issue. But thus far, it seems that there's not much action on that front in the 2021 General Assembly.
Very little movement so far, and that has to be disappointing for people who support that ruling. In the coming weeks, and hopefully before the new school year starts, there will be some action taken to address that plan. It calls for a qualified teacher in every classroom, a strong leader in every school building, and funding for other programs that are designed to help children in their academic progress. It's very important the plan is well done, and I hope that our lawmakers come to a meeting of the minds on that in the very near future and come up with the funding needed to put that plan to work.
Unfortunately, it seems that rather, however, than devoting a lot of attention or energy to how we sort of provide this basic structure for our public education system, the lawmakers have devoted a lot of time to sort of micromanaging some sort of very specific details about how our teachers are teaching the children in our schools, really getting into the nitty-gritty of the curricula. We've got new bills on that front. Talk to us about what's happening in that realm.
One of the bills that have gotten a lot of attention in recent weeks is House Bill 324. And that bill is very controversial. It would prohibit teachers from promoting concepts that suggest America is racist or that people are inherently racist or sexist. It would also prohibit teachers from teaching that whites or anyone else is responsible for the sins of their forefathers. It is a reaction, and there's no doubt about that, but it's a reaction to the new social standards that were adopted by the State Board of Education. And those standards require diverse views are included when history are taught. The bill got strong reaction from Democrats last week who oppose it. And Representative Candy Smith, a Pitt County Democrat, compared it to a book burning. And Representative Ashton Wheeler Clemens, a Guilford County Democrat, and she's an educator. So she said this bill would prohibit her from being honest with her students about this nation's racial history. And she told a story on the House floor about a student asking her why there are no Black presidents or women presidents. And that occurred during the George W. Bush presidency. And what she said on the House floor is, I'm worried that House Bill 324 would prevent me as that teacher in that moment from honestly answering that question. And she said, honestly, a lot of our history makes that true. The facts of our history have led us to where we are. And she noted that until 1920, only white men could vote. Women were able to vote in 1920, but people of color did not officially get that right until 1965. And she's afraid that this bill would have a chilling effect on having these honest conversations with students about our nation's history.
It really strains credulity to imagine that you could somehow teach the history of the United States without focusing on racism and the enormous role it played in shaping, especially in a state like North Carolina, who we are, what we have become. It's not necessarily to cast blame on anybody today, per se, but it is to point out that there are people today who are in power, who are wealthy, who live a very different life than other people. And that's because their families or the institutions of which they are a part played a role in that history. It's not necessarily to cast blame, but it's about speaking the truth. And it's sort of remarkable that the legislature would seem intent on, in effect, censoring that or stifling that truth.
It is, and the supporters of this bill, and let's be honest about it, this bill has been supported by Republicans in North Carolina wholeheartedly. It's hard to imagine that they are unaware of how painful these types of bills can be to people of color. I think Representative Charles Graham of Robeson County and member of the Lumbee tribe said it best. He had difficulty understanding why his colleagues on the House would actually bring this bill to the floor. And he sees it as as a mean-spirited bill. And imagine that you're sitting there on the House floor with your colleagues, and you sincerely believe that your colleagues are introducing legislation that is designed to hurt people. And then you call it mean-spirited. Graham said, we need to be teaching about Black culture and what it's meant to this country. We also need to be teaching about Native American culture and what it's meant to America, and about Hispanic culture and what it has meant to America. It seems simple, but this bill is part of a larger, it appears to be a part of a larger Republican strategy taking place across the country, where our Republican legislatures are introducing these bills to restrict what educators can teach students about our nation's history.
Yeah, it seems to be right out of the Trump playbook. It's about changing the discussion when it perhaps ought to be about, definitely ought to be about how we fund our schools, how we keep our schools providing the essential core structures and services they need to provide, and instead taking us off in this debate about issues that were long settled. We're coming to the end of our time with Greg Childress, education reporter for NC Policy Watch, but there are a couple of sort of positive developments in the education world that probably makes sense to spend a little time on. There has been, as part of the recovery work that's coming from Washington, a big injection of money to help address the problem of student homelessness, at least in K through 12 schools. We know that this is a huge problem. We still have a huge share of our students who don't have a stable home address. And at least it looks like our districts are going to get a little bit of extra funding to address that issue.
Yeah, that is terrific. I think the amount is about $23.6 million that will be directed to homeless students. One of the things it will allow is for districts to partner with local nonprofits to address the needs of students. Also provides money for recovery of learning loss that occurred during the pandemic. That money could be used, for example, for things such as like a cell phone to help kids stay in touch with their districts and their teachers and other services that they require. That is indeed good news for North Carolina, and it's part of almost $1 billion worth of funding that are going to homeless students across North Carolina. So it's also good for homeless students across America.
It's encouraging news. And one other sort of encouraging bit of news more recently here in North Carolina, an actual piece of, these are pretty rare, bipartisan legislation, is a bill to address the issue of autism in our state and the professionals who can deliver services to autistic kids. We've had some restrictions on that have put real burdens on families. They've had to travel enormous distances to get the people to provide the services their kids need. And with this new legislation, it looks like maybe we'll chip away at that problem.
Yeah, huge win for families with children experiencing autism. This bill, as you mentioned, was a bipartisan effort. It's hard to be against it. And it was championed by Cal Robinson and his wife, Bybee. This family from Pitt County created ACES for Autism in 2014, 3 years after their son, Samuel, was diagnosed with autism. And that nonprofit serves children with autism in Pitt County. Down in the rural parts of North Carolina, eastern North Carolina, these services are not readily available.
Right.
So Bobby Robinson and Samuel Robinson were driving 200 miles to Winston-Salem to get these services. So what will happen, hopefully, is that this bill will make it more appealing for behavior analysts who are trained in applied behavioral analysis, or ABA as it's called. And that's a type of therapy that can improve social communication, learning skills in children with autism through positive reinforcement. So hopefully this bill will make setting up shop in eastern parts of the state and other rural parts more appealing for these professionals.
Yeah, it's going to make these behavior analysts, as I understand it, the bureaucracy that was sort of in the way of them getting regulated and in business is going to be lessened so that they'll still be professionals doing important work, but maybe they won't have quite the burden that they had to get in.
Yeah, one of the piece of red tape that was preventing them from setting up shop in these parts of the state is that they were required to be supervised by licensed psychologists. And so what will happen here is this bill removes that requirement, and these professionals can go about their daily work without that supervision.
Maybe on that hopeful note, we'll end our conversation, but it looks like you're going to be a busy man over the coming months as the General Assembly puts together the budget and debates a lot of this controversial legislation. We'll keep looking for your stories at ncpolicywatch.com.
All right. Thank you, Rob, for having me. Thanks. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Coming up next, some exciting new research at Duke University may offer the promise of a powerful new vaccine to combat an array of coronaviruses, and we'll hear from the scientists behind it. Don't go away.